All-in-all roundup, episode 3. This week we have Woj coming back after his 2-week suspension following a choice couple of words he had for a sender. We have the Pentagon reportedly mentioning off-world vehicles not made on Earth in a report from a previously thought to be disbanded government agency. We'll get into that more. Kanye's health issues, some of his tweets he fired off, his debut presidential event in South Carolina, Logic's retirement, and finally, the NBA coming back and my subsequent picks for the finals and who's coming out of the East and West. Guys, let's get into it. So first, we have Woj coming back after his 2-week suspension without pay from ESPN. It started June 11th, and it was following his comments towards Senator Josh Hawley. It came after Senator blasted the NBA's relationship with China and voiced his concerns with the fact that players couldn't put statements endorsing the police or the troops on the back of their jerseys. Basically, you know, Blue Lives Matter, stuff like that. If they could voice their concerns towards the Black Lives Matter movement, I guess what the senator was saying is that why couldn't they voice their opinions the other way, though. I don't know if any players share that sentiment. There was the whole debacle with Harden wearing a Blue Lives Matter mask, but that also turned out to be just a mask that Harden had ordered online and didn't really amount to anything in the end. So essentially, Woj had responded with a few choice words to the senator. I'll leave that up on the screen for you guys to see there. And this prompted ESPN to subsequently give him 2 weeks leave without pay. He was suspended. He just came back. He released an apology the other day. He had voiced his genuine regret at his comments and issued an apology to both his ESPN higher-ups, his colleagues, and Senator Hawley directly. So here's the thing about what Woj said to the senator that I find a little bit troubling. Okay, so if you're Woj and you're a well-known personality within the NBA community and you have this platform, especially now that you've been thrust into a new form of platform with your vocal disapproval of what Senator Hawley said. If you're Woj, you could say that a million other ways that could be more tactful, more appropriate. And I understand that Woj voicing his concerns was more of a passionate move, and I'm not taking anything away from that, and I'm certainly not saying I don't disagree with him, because I tend to agree with him. There's better ways that you have to conduct yourself, because at the end of the day, the movement is trying to be actively discredited by people outside of it. So if you give them fuel to the flame, they're gonna run with stuff like that, where you see, you know, Woj saying fuck you, or Sean Jackson with the Hitler comments. I mean, there are certain people that make it very hard to get, I don't want to say the ball rolling on this movement, because it's already rolling pretty well, but there are some people that you know, make mistakes, and again, that's okay. I'm not saying that everyone has to be perfect, but that we as a movement need to move in tandem. There can't be any people that, you know, there can't be much room for mistakes, if that makes any sense. So anyway, I agree with the sentiment of what Woj was trying to get across. Do I agree with the way he did it? No. He came out after the fact. He, you know, apologized to everyone, so that's okay. That's fine. Woj, I think, now has a whole lot more, at least respect for me, I'm sure, in the NBA community, has a lot more respect behind him. So, you know, I wish all the best to Woj, and hopefully, you know, nothing else comes of this, and no, you know, whatever NBA drama hajita from outside or people coming in. You know, who knows what will go on. I just hope that this is the last that we hear about this stuff, especially because, you know, the senator came out after the fact and was kind of like mocking him. And it's just like, you know, it just shows your true hand. So all the best goes to Woj. I know he's going to be reporting within the bubble. So typical Woj, I'm going to be looking for his trade rumors and his breaking news reports, so I can keep on doing my Spreading the Floor podcast. He'll keep me updated, and you already know it's all love. Anyway, let's move on to the second topic for the episode. The Pentagon report mentions off-world vehicles not made on Earth. Now, I'm not sure if anyone's seen those videos and the pictures of those unidentified flying crafts, also known as UAPs, I believe it is. Unidentified aerial phenomenon, I think they're called. Apparently, they've been accredited as such by a formerly thought to have been disbanded government agency known as the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. It had reportedly been shut down when it kind of stopped receiving funding in 2012, but apparently it had been operating in secret through 2017. And the reason people found out about it is because there were a lot of expense reports brought out by the government and in that there turned out to be some funding for said secret program in the mix. Now, apparently this program had been working for a while, and they had found a lot of materials that, quote, weren't of this earth from some crash sites. So that means that perhaps the materials they have now in their possession and the craft that we saw on that video could relatively be described as alien craft. Now, not in the sense that a lot of people would say they are, not in the broad sense, but I mean that alien in the way that they are not known to this world. We don't know if it's alien in terms of pop culture, but more, you know, the actual textbook definition of alien. So listen, man, we're gonna see a lot more from this, more developments, I think, in the coming days. I'm interested. I am gonna be keeping a close eye on this because I've always kind of had a sweet spot for space. Not only that, you know, the unknown. So who knows? This could open like a Pandora's box of new information, and we would see just an entire new. I'm not gonna just gas it up and make it seem like we're gonna be going into an alternate form of reality here, but. Listen, who knows? Who knows what we might find? It's 2020. I'm open to anything new, any new developments. Nothing's off the board for me. You know, whatever happens, happens. But I thought this was a really cool story, and I wanted to share it with you guys. Anyway, let's get on to a third topic for the episode. Alrighty, so third topic of the episode, we have Kanye's health issues. He's been firing off kind of nonstop tweets. It was following his very controversial comments at his debut rally in South Carolina.
Well, Harriet Tubman never actually freed the slaves. She just had the slaves go work for other white people.
Y'all, we leaving right now.
Voiced his desire to divorce probably the closest and most positive influence on him, his wife Kim Kardashian. He said it was because she had met with Meek Mill at Waldorf. I think I'm saying that correctly. I'm not sure. He also detailed a plan between Kim and her mother to send him to a mental facility for welfare purposes. I believe it's called 5150ing. Since then, he's come out. He has voiced his apology on Twitter, weirdly enough. I think that would be something that should remain in the family, though. You know the Kardashians. I think it was the Joe Budden podcast. They said they always find a way to monetize stuff that goes on inside the household. So I wouldn't be surprised, again, and I'll get into this in a second, if this is Kanye just being regular Kanye mixed in with a little bit of mental health issues. Now, let me kind of break down what I mean here. Let me unpack this. So, is Kanye unwell? I genuinely do believe so. I think he has a very interesting brain, and I think it's always kind of thinking out of the box. He has an artist's brain. He has a very artistic brain. It's always constantly asking questions. It's always pondering. And I think he has a lot of out of the box takes on things. Like, you know, out of the box is kind of an understatement when you talk about what he said about Harriet Tubman or what he said about abortion at his rally. But that's Kanye. And when you combine that with bipolar disorder, you know, something that we saw in the tweets was that he was kind of feeling like he couldn't trust anyone, which for anyone that knows mental health disorders, that is a telltale sign of a mental episode. Whether it be bipolar, schizophrenia, people going through those things will always feel as though there are people coming to get them, or the ones that they hold close to them are plotting or conspiring against them for whatever reason or the other. So, do I think this is Kanye being Kanye and trying to sell an album? Possibly. Do I think that Kanye could be also suffering from a lot of mental health issues and a lot of stress? Yes, I do believe that. So here's my thing with Kanye, and this is something that I think my sentiments were mirrored on the Joe Budden podcast, and it's something that I agree with them heavily upon. I think what they said is essentially that Kanye can be both mentally ill and still an artist at the same time. He doesn't have to play one side of the field. He can do both. He's been doing it. I mean, there have been countless points in history where Kanye has done or said something just asinine, but also went out to fill out arena, you know, drop shoes, do an album, whatever it might be that Kanye does. He obviously dropped, I don't know if anyone saw the debut of the cover art for his album. I think it was very recently, certainly following his Twitter tirade and his debut event. So he apologized. Do I think that we see less Kanye craziness? I think so. I think it's going to die down. It seems like a lot of people are now checking in on him, following those comments. I think that's always kind of what it comes down to, is like he starts to ramp up, and then it gets to the tip of the mountain, and then everyone's like, okay, cut this off. Let's just have it, you know, sit down, talk. People are checking in on him. Justin Bieber went to his ranch recently. So I think that this is the last we're going to hear of Kanye until the next thing he's got going on. And you know what? Not even necessarily that he uses his, I don't think he profits off of his mental health. I think that he just simply, you know, it's like I said, it's due to the amount of traffic he gets when he has an album coming out, or where there are events that are tangentially connected to him. And he, you know, he needs to be out in the public eye, because again, Maul from the Joe Budden podcast said it better than I ever could. Artists drop something, they need to be in the public eye. You understand? Like, artists need to be seen, need to be heard. That's the nature of being an artist, whatever it might be. So I think until the next big thing pops up with Kanye, even if it's tangentially connected, even if he's dropping something, we won't see or hear a lot from him. That's just my prediction, though. Let's move on to the fourth topic for the episode. So for our fourth topic of the episode, we have Logic retiring. He announced his retirement on the 16th of July, shortly before dropping his album No Pressure on the 24th. It's a nice little bookend closing, as we all know that he had the album Under Pressure, and then now this is coming full circle. I listened to half of the album. I thought it was okay. It was typical Logic for me. I had only heard really Everybody and Back, so everything behind Everybody and nothing in between Everybody and No Pressure. I know a lot of people have said that Logic, since Everybody, is kind of like sold out, became corny, talked about being biracial too much. I never really bought into the hate. I thought he was always a talented lyricist. From what I've heard in his discography, I think he's, like I said, he's one of my more favorable artists that I listen to, and I don't listen to typically a lot of rap. I listen to more neo soul, but for me, he's a good guy overall, pretty cool off the mic from what I've seen. He's now signed a deal with Twitch, in which he'll be probably gaming more, as I suspect he is a big gaming guy. So that's really good for him. He said in his retirement statement on Instagram that he was really just retiring after a decade because he wanted to spend more time with his son, something that I can always get behind personally. So the best to Logic in his retirement. And I will finish off this album and maybe even give a review on my next Chopping It Up podcast. Who knows? Alrighty, for our fifth topic of the show, we have the NBA coming back. So instead of just kind of commenting or telling you guys news about what's been going on inside the bubble, I figured I'd save that for my other podcast and just give you guys my picks, my personal takes on who would come out of the East, the West, who would go to the finals. I'll give you my dark horse picks, even for people that could be potential world beaters that not many people are taking a look at. So let's get into it. So for the East, I had the Bucks, Celtics, and Raptors at the top of the heap. Obviously, the East this year, very top heavy, kind of switching places with the Western Conference. The Western Conference, much more of a dogfight. But where there is talent in the East, there is competition as well. So top of the pack is pretty cut and dry, but to me, two dark horse picks that could make some noise are the 76ers and the Heat. Now, at face value, you'd say, yeah, Jake, those are very competitive teams. They're in the top five. Actually, no, 76ers are in the sixth spot, excuse me. But the Heat are in the top five. But I'd say really what makes them the underdogs is that they simply have to go up against the Bucks, Celtics, and Raptors. The Raptors having a great rebound year from last year, suffering seemingly no title drought. The Bucks even getting a lot of pieces around, or having emerging pieces around Giannis. Guys like Chris Middleton, the Lopez brothers really stepping up to the plate. Giannis even getting better from last year. I mean, if you really think about it, you also have the young, talented Celtics squad that you have to go up against. If you're the 76ers and you're going out there with something to prove, because you've had health concerns in the playoffs last year, you had health concerns in the regular season last year, people are saying that you have a lack of shooting, which I believe to be true. You're going to be coming out the gate hungry. I'm just saying, we could see the renaissance of the 76ers. I was actually watching a program earlier in which, you know, they were kind of detailing the weird offense that the 76ers run, but it's an effective offense. And they actually use a lot more height and more length than I originally thought. So perhaps they use that to get over the Celtics that don't have a lot of height. They have Daniel Tice as center, but besides that, who else do they have that's pretty lengthy? I mean, they could use that to their advantage. So I'm just saying, 76ers and then the Heat. You got a young, talented team. You got Jimmy Butler on that squad. He's the veteran presence. Bam Adebayo, if I'm saying that correctly. I apologize if I'm murdering that name. You know, a very talented team as well. They got Andre Iguodala, a lot of veteran presence in the locker room, and guys that can get it done, guys that have proven themselves in the league this year. I mean, just a very very cool, calm, and collected, and fun to watch group of guys that I think might be able to make some noise in the East. All right, with that, let's go to the picks for the West. I have the Clippers, Lakers, and Nuggets. Pretty on-brand prediction. I'd say the same for my dark horse picks. I have Thunder and Jazz. I just think the Jazz are also a very tight squad. Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, the reigning defensive player of the year. I mean, all guys, Joe Ingles, like, just all killers, man. A team that always makes it into the playoffs, but this year, really, with a facilitator for Donovan Mitchell, could again make some noise. Thunder, Chris Paul, a lot of people were saying he was washed. He has now a team around him that can also get it done. I mean, I was watching today, they played the 76ers. They came back from about a 20-point deficit to win the game. Also, Andre Robinson checked in for the first time since 2016. This game drained two threes to ice the game. I mean, he's going to be another vital aspect of our team, along with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like I said, the renaissance of Chris Paul, seemingly, and Steven Adams at center. I mean, we're unstoppable. Danilo Gallinari, like, both teams that can make waves, and those are two of my dark horse picks personally. We'll see how it pans out for the finals. I'd probably say I'll go for the cut and dry prediction here. I'll go for Lakers coming out of the West and Bucks coming out of the East. I think that's pretty fair. So without further ado, that's been the episode for today, guys. All in all, episode 3. Hoped you enjoyed, and stay tuned for more podcasts in the future. I'm going to be having a Lolo Down episode come out. I'm also going to be having a Chopping It Up episode coming out soon, so stay in touch for those. Bye, guys.